As we come to the seventh chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus is concluding his Sermon on the Mount. Having established the principles of the kingdom and declaring those who would dwell within the kingdom, he now, as a wise teacher, impresses the listeners with the importance of not just listening, but to doing something about it. It is very easy for people to listen and to hear the truth. And as you hear the truth, our hearts always affirm it. Someone tells me the truth and I say, oh yes, I believe that. That's right. But Jesus is pointing out the necessity of more than just affirming the truth, but to start doing something about it. And so, beginning with verse 21, Jesus is talking here of now putting into practice the truth that they have heard. For he said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who is doing the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name we've cast out devils, and in thy name we've done many wonderful works? And I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So Jesus is actually saying that the true test is not what I say, but what I do. It is obeying the truth that is so important. There are many people who respond verbally, but it is possible for us to pick up spiritual jargon. It's possible for us to learn the right kind of spiritual words to say, so that as someone is relating to me some exciting experience that they've had with the Lord, I can say, oh, bless the Lord. Oh, praise God. And I can use these spiritual terms, but I can just be mouthing spiritual little stereotype phrases, but yet not have a real experience in my own life. The little epistle of 1 John is the epistle of Christian proofs. 41 times in that little epistle, he talks about you knowing, and you knowing that you know, and how you know that you know. And several times in that little epistle, he talks about certain things that people are saying. But saying it isn't enough. John said, he that saith, he has fellowship with God. Isn't that a beautiful thing to say? Oh, I have fellowship with God. That's glorious. That's a marvelous thing to say. But John said, if a man is saying that and yet he's walking in darkness, that man's telling a lie. He doesn't know what the truth is. If a man says, I haven't sinned, that man is making God a liar, for God said all have sinned. If a man says, I abide in Jesus Christ, John said, then he ought to be walking even as Jesus walked. If a man says, oh, I love God, and yet this man hates his brother, the Bible said he's a liar. He's not speaking the truth. You see, it is possible for us to be saying wonderful things, good things, proper things. And yet, there's got to be more than just the saying or the declaring of these things. There's got to be the reality of them being worked out in my life. I've got to be a doer, not just a hearer, or not just an affirmer of truth. Now, Jesus said, not all who say, Lord, Lord, are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let it be said that no one is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven who doesn't say, Lord, Lord. For that's the basic element of salvation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's basic to salvation. So no one is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven who does not say, Lord, Lord. And yet not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, are going to enter in. There are some people saying, Lord, Lord, that are never going to make it into the kingdom. They are saying the right things. But Jesus said, not all who say, Lord, Lord, are going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. And the emphasis is upon doing God's will, not just saying the right thing, but doing the will of God. But then Jesus went on to declare that there will be people who say, Lord, Lord, and they say, I am doing the right things. Oh, Lord, have I not preached in thy name? And in thy name, I've cast out devils, and I've done many wonderful works. But Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, as we go back into the Sermon on the Mount, we read the words of Jesus when he said, take heed how you do your righteous deeds, that you do not do them before men to be seen of men. So it is not only what I do for the Lord, but it is how I do it for the Lord, and that is usually predicated on the motive behind why I am doing it. You see, I can be doing the right thing with the wrong motive in my own heart. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works, they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I can be doing my works in such a way that I am drawing attention to myself deliberately so that as people see my good works, they say, oh, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he just so marvelous? Did you see what he is doing? Well, I hope you did. I did it in such a way that I was trying to draw your attention so that you could, you see. And if I am being motivated by trying to bring glory to myself rather than glory to God, I can be preaching in such a way as bringing to me self-glory. I can be working in such a way as to bring to me great honor and credit. Or I can preach in such a way as to bring people to the Lord and cause them to glory in Him. And I can do my works in such a way that people will praise God and give glory to God. So it's responding, it's doing the will of the Father with that right motive behind my actions. Not all who say, "Lord, Lord," are going to enter. Those who are doing the will of the Father. But it is possible that I am hearing the truth. And as I read the Sermon on the Mount, and as I read these things that Jesus is declaring, I say, oh yes, that's right. I know I should live that way. That's the way a person should live. And I may be hearing the truth and even consenting to the truth. But it takes more than that. In fact, this is an easy way to deceive myself when I consent to the truth. And yet I don't do it. I don't do anything about it. A person comes to me and says, "Chuck, you need to lose weight." And I say, "Oh, yes. I know it. I consent to the truth of your statement." "That's right. Amen." And yet, if I don't cut down my calorie intake, and if I don't exercise and burn off more calories, I can consent to the truth all the while, but yet I'm still fat. I'm still not changed. There's still no difference in me. Now, this is dangerous in a spiritual sense because so many times when a person declares spiritual truth, it rings a bell and I say, "Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, that's true. Amen, brother." But if I don't change, if I don't react, if I don't respond to the truth in an active way, if it doesn't change my attitude or my behavior or my pattern of living, then I am in that position of being able to deceive myself, and I'm resting in a false premise. Now, James in his epistle said, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." It's very easy when you're listening to the truth to deceive yourself by just hearing it and yet not doing anything about it. For he said, a man who hears the truth but doesn't do anything about it is like a man who is looking at himself in the mirror. But as soon as he walks away, he forgets what he was looking at. In other words, if I am only hearing the truth and yet not responding in like action to the truth, I get a distorted view of myself. I look in the mirror, I see the truth, especially if I put on my glasses. And you know, I say, "Wow, look at that. What a shame. Man, I'm getting old." But when I walk away, I forget it. I'm like, "Whoa, you know, don't look too bad, you know." And I forget the truth of what I had just seen. And I begin to get a distorted view of myself. So is the man who hears the word but does nothing about it. He consents to it. Yes, that's right. But he doesn't change. Jesus said to hear and not to respond is like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. Now, from all appearances, his house looks great. You look at him, and it looks just like the house next door. He looks just like the man who was sitting in the pew beside him. For they both sang very heartily from the hymnal. They both gave when the offering bag went by. They both bowed their heads during prayer. They both whispered a silent amen at the end. They both of them read from the scriptures. And from all appearances, looks great. However, one is a wise man, for he has built his house upon a solid foundation. The other is a foolish man, for he has built his house upon the sand. But as I am looking at them, I can't tell you from observation, surface observation, which man is wise and which man is foolish. But there's a vicious storm coming next month. A hurricane is going to sweep through this area. The wind is going to howl. The rain is going to descend. There's going to be a great flood. And after that tremendous storm, I will know which was the wise man and which was the foolish. Which one had a solid foundation under his experience and which one had no foundation under his experiences. It is easy how secure we can become under false premises, with false foundations. As long as I have four walls around me and a roof over my head, I feel relatively secure. I check into a motel room. I go in and there's the bed and the dresser and there are four walls and there's a roof. And I think, oh, you know, this is, sleep well tonight, you know. Simmons mattress, all right. I don't go outside and take a shovel and dig to see what kind of foundation this motel is standing on. As far as I know, you know, maybe there's no foundation. Maybe a tornado is going to whistle through tonight and I'm going to be without my four walls and a roof before morning. I don't know by looking. But because I'm surrounded by four walls and I have a roof, I feel secure. There are many people who are feeling very secure in their position, even though they are really in a very precarious position because there's no real foundation underneath. They've been deceiving themselves because they've been hearing the word, consenting to the word, affirming to the truth of the word, and yet they haven't been doing it. Now, Paul the Apostle tells us, therefore, let a man examine himself. For if we will judge ourselves, then we will not be judged by God. It's important that I look at my own life very carefully and ask, am I a doer of the word or just a hearer? Am I one that is just saying, oh, yes, that's true, bless the Lord, oh, amen? Or am I one who is responding and reacting to the truth, behaving in accordance to the truth. Now, this is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus is emphasizing the necessity of now putting these things into practice. So let's go back over the sermon for a moment. As he begins his sermon declaring the attitudes of that person who will inherit the kingdom of heaven, are these attitudes a reality in my life, or are they just admirable traits that I admire in other people? Am I really poor in spirit? Have I really mourned over my own failures and weaknesses? Am I meek? Have I really hungered and thirsted after righteousness? Am I merciful? Am I a peacemaker? Are these beatitudes the true attitudes of my own heart? Or am I proud? Am I haughty? Do I feel that I am better than others? And do I go around with this haughty attitude? Do I let my light so shine before men as to bring glory to God? Do men praise the Lord when they see that work of God wrought through my life? Or do they tend to praise me and hold me up? Am I doing it in such a way as to draw attention to myself or to bring glory to God? Do I trust in Jesus Christ completely and fully for my righteous standing? Does my righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees? And how do I do my righteous deeds before men? How do I give? How do I pray? How do I fast? With a great ostentation and showiness? Or to my Father who sees in secret? And what about my treasure? Am I interested in laying up treasure in heaven, or am I very concerned about laying up treasure on earth? Where is my real treasure? Wherein shall be my heart? As we were singing the opening hymn this morning, I had to sort of chuckle when we got to the third verse, thanking God that we don't have the same purity and holiness within our church that existed in the first church in the book of Acts. We're two persons who were making a pretense of giving everything to God, but in reality were holding back. But for that pretense, we're smitten dead by the power and the presence of the Spirit. And as I sang, take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, I thought, oh God, thank you for your grace and your mercy. For I am afraid that I have held more than a mite, withheld more than a mite from the Lord. We say, oh Lord, I've given it all to you, but in reality, have I? It's not what I say by which I'm going to be measured, but what I have done is the measurement that God is going to use. And he who hears my word and does them, Jesus said, I will liken. But it is the emphasis of doing. Do I worry Am I all concerned about what I'm going to do, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat? Or have I committed my life and am I trusting completely in the Father, that He loves me, He knows my needs, He'll take care of me? Am I guilty of judging others? Do I have a condemning attitude? Have I this suspicious nature where if someone does something nice for me, I think, I wonder what they want now. What are they after? Am I judgmental of other people? Am I guilty of this? Oh, God, help me. I want to change. I want to be a doer of the word. I don't want to deceive myself. I don't want to be resting in some false hope or an illusion. I want to know that I have underneath of me a solid foundation that is going to stand, because both houses were subjected to the same environment, the same storm. Sooner or later, our lives are going to be faced with circumstances that are beyond our control. We are going to be assaulted by storms over which we cannot really control our own destiny, but will be left as the victims of the ravages of the winds and the storms of life, because no one is immune from trouble. And when I am pressured and pushed and beat beyond measure by these storms, will I still stand? Do I have that kind of total commitment to God, that my life is committed to Him? Come what may, that solid foundation is there underneath. Or will I be swept away with the tide? Oh, how important that we have the basic foundation underneath. By being doers of the word and not hearers only. Finally, am I doing to others what I would like to have done to me? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Yes, this is the way I should live. Yes, I consent to that. No, am I living this way? Am I doing these things? That's the question you should be asking. Not do I believe these things are true. Of course we believe they're true. Of course I believe I would be healthier if I were 20 pounds lighter. But is that changing anything? Of course you believe the truth. But is that changing anything in your life? Are you living according to the truth? Is your life in harmony with the truth? Are you a doer of the word? Or just a hearer and affirmer of the word? David said, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts." And may God search our hearts today. So we pray. O God, it's so easy to feel secure, even in places of great danger. Help us, Father, that we might indeed examine our hearts today. Take a good look at our lives to see if the Word of God has brought those changes, that we are living in accordance to your words. Lord, let thy Spirit speak and convict where necessary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, I know I need to commit my life to the Lord. Oh, I know that I need to live a better life. Oh, I know. Yeah. But what are you doing about it? Oh, I know I ought to go back to the prayer room and just really surrender. But what are you doing about it? I pray that you will do something about it. Soon as we're dismissed, the pastors will be back in the prayer room to pray with you, and you can do something about it. And I exhort you, do something about it. Don't be like a foolish man building a house on the sand. It'll never stand in the time of storm. May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and may the hand of the Lord be upon your life, and may the power of the Holy Spirit bring to pass in your life those necessary changes that your life might be in full conformity with God's truth and God's word. In Jesus' name.